Hey kids, do you like wrestling? Well, we like wrestling too. We are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Myself and Chris Novembrino kind of doing a lazy river of wrestling criticism, going through the news and whatever happened in stateside television wrestling. And also, you know what? Sometimes we just like to watch old stuff and talk about that too. Love for you to give us a listen if you haven't already. We are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hit my music.
You're listening to Music of the Mat on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to Music of the Mat, the podcast devoted exclusively to the music of pro wrestling. It's all part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. I'm your host, Andrew Rich. This is episode 160, and it's about the themes of the four pillars of All Japan: Misawa, Kobashi, Kawada, and Taue. And today I'm joined by a returning guest here on the show. It's Jojo Remy. Hello again, Jojo.
Hey, Andrew. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, great to have you back on, definitely. This is your fifth time on, I believe, actually, which is pretty cool. And it's funny, you know, last time you were on, we talked about the themes of a guy named Kenta, and now we're going to talk about the themes of another guy named Kenta, and a few other guys, too. So there you go. But how are you doing, man? How are things?
Yeah, things are good. Back here in Florida. I assume the last time we spoke, I was probably already back here. But you know, things are going well. We're about to head into hurricane season here, so that's always a kind of nerve-wracking time of year down here and in line of fire, so to speak. But yeah, things are good, and excited to talk about some of really the most meaningful themes I think in my professional wrestling fandom. So thank you so much for having me on.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's funny when I gave you the list of songs for the episode here, you messaged me a few minutes later saying, "Oh, I got tears in my eyes hearing these melodies, you know." So I got the right man for the job, I think. There, Jojo, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, some of these songs, like I listen to them when I work out or when I run, or like, you know, they've been around for a while, right? So they've been constants in my life for, geez, I don't even know how long. I guess like almost more than 20 years at this point, which is kind of crazy to think. But yeah, so. Super excited to talk about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's a pretty big episode, a pretty big topic. Yeah, you know, and I mean, we're talking about the four pillars here, you know, Mitsuharu Misawa, Kenta Kobashi, Toshiaki Kawada, and Akira Taue. Four guys who, you know, had a couple good matches here and there, I think, you know, drew a couple nice houses here and there. No, I mean, look, they're four of the best wrestlers of all time. They've had some of the best matches of all time, either with each other in countless singles and tags, or other guys in All Japan, or later on in Noah. You know, 5-star ratings up the wazoo from Dave Meltzer before he went star crazy later on in his life.
When stars meant something.
Yeah, goddammit. But no, look, they're all champions many times over. They're all Hall of Famers. They're all considered just, you know, massive legends and icons of pro wrestling. So, you know, really, what else can you say about them at this point that just hasn't already been said by so many other people? You know, we could praise them all day, of course, but they've been praised, I think, quite enough over the years there, Jojo, that's for sure.
Yeah, so have you done any of these songs before?
No, I haven't. This is actually the first time I'm talking about any of these songs.
Nice. So you're kind of like, this was something that I'm assuming you had planned to do together, obviously, because I would assume that, like, had you not wanted to do them as their own episode, you would have encountered one of them, you know, at some point over the course of the history of your show at this point. So I'm excited to jump in and get them all at one time for the first time around. It's pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you look at each guy's theme history individually, there's not that many. And I've done shorter episodes before, of course, but I think when it's, you know, the four pillars, you know, with this group of guys who are just so bonded together by this name and this legacy, I wanted to do them all in, you know, one fell swoop here. And I said before on the show, too, that there are a lot of big topics to get to. I didn't want to do them all in short order. I wanted to space them out over the years and over the episodes. So here we are, finally, doing the four pillars. And yeah, I'm looking forward to this one a lot, and I'm sure you are too, Jojo.
For sure. Let's get to it.
All right, yeah. So again, collectively, a bunch of songs to get to here. We're not going to cover, you know, every single song that these guys had. We're just going to cover the main, you know, iconic ones that people know of and a few others here and there. But still a lot of songs to get to, both with All Japan and, of course, with Noah, too, because Noah is a big part of the Pillars' legacy, at least for three of them anyway, Misawa, Kobashi, and Tawai, who made the jump in 2000, whereas Kawada, of course, stayed behind with All Japan. But regardless, we'll start off here with the first pillar, and that's Mitsuharu Misawa, Mr. Elbow, Mr. Emerald Flosion. And the thing about Misawa is he wasn't always Misawa. He spent a good part of his early years under a mask as Tiger Mask 2, from 84 to 1990. And his theme as Tiger Mask is by Takeshi Terauchi and his Blue Jeans. Great band name. This is Tiger Mask theme. So this is naturally pretty old school, kind of a mix between like a Western TV theme and some surf rock thrown in there too. It has the sound effect that you would hear in a cartoon where someone jumps really high, like that kind of sound. So yeah, again, very old school, but it's based on the show theme, so that makes a lot of sense there. And look, is it what we're used to with Misawa? No, of course not, but it's not Misawa, it's Tiger Mask JoJo, so you know, there you go.
Yeah, and it's not the Tiger Mask theme that, you know, people that are familiar with the current generation of Tiger Mask wouldn't associate this one with Tiger Mask. But I feel like, you know, they used this melody in the Tiger Mask W kind of relaunch of Tiger Mask, and that was an underlying kind of melodic theme in that theme, and this is why, right? It comes from this original theme, and like you said, very vintage westerny sounding, almost like cartoonish, obviously makes sense too at this point, but yeah, I think it totally fits the character, and it doesn't fit the man that, you know, we came to know as Mitsuharu Misawa, obviously, but makes sense for what it was at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Misawa himself was pretty different back then too, not just in terms of the character obviously, but in terms of his build, in terms of his moveset, and that would change as time went on, of course. But yeah, the guy in the ring in 85 is not the same guy in the ring in 92 or 93. It's just, you know, he changes a lot as the years go by. So yeah. Now before we get to the next song, Spartan X, I do want to briefly mention a few songs that Misawa had before Spartan X, beyond the Tiger Mask theme. The first one is Yakusoku no Hashi by Motoharu Sano. Before Tiger Mask, actually. The next one is Red Zone Fighter by Tokyo 23.
We'll be right back.
That's from an anime series called Megazone 23, which he used in 1990. And then the last one here, War in Space Theme by Toshiaki Tsushima. From a sci-fi movie called War in Space, and that was also used in 1990 before Spartan X. So, yeah, a couple songs here that I'm sure many people out there don't even know were Misawa themes at all. But that's kind of a recurring trait amongst all four pillars. You know, they all have their signature songs, of course, but they also don't get them right away. You know, it takes a couple years before they get those iconic, you know, songs. So, yeah, there's the example right here, JoJo. There you go.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. Like, I feel like Yakusoku no Hashi could have been repurposed. I feel like that one was a good song for sure. And it kind of reminded me of, like, it's not at all the same type of music, but like a Yuma Aoyagi type babyface character. Like, I'd slap that song on him for sure. The other two were kind of didn't leave a good impression, not like a lasting impression, I'd say. Like, one of them just kind of sounded like background music for Street Fighter, but not as good. And the other one was, yeah, I didn't even see how that one was, like, very regal sounding. The one from the movie, I forget what it was called.
War in Space.
But War in Space. Yeah, exactly. That one was, like, very regal sounding. I didn't even see how that would work as a wrestling theme. But yeah, if you're looking, like, to go back in time and pull a song that you could reapply to an upcoming, up-and-coming All Japan wrestler, Yakusoku no Hashi, which means the Promise Bridge, gets my stamp of approval.
All right, then. Well, let's get to the big Misawa theme here. He had this in All Japan throughout the 90s and into the Noah run until the end of his life in 2009, sadly. This is by Keith Morrison from the soundtrack to the Jackie Chan movie Wheels on Meals, which in Japan was titled Spartan X. This is Spartan X. Picture the tears just flowing from your eyes, JoJo, as this song plays. Just the emotion, the magic. but yeah, look, this is the first of the iconic pillar themes in the docket here. It has those trademark pillar theme elements, the guitar keyboard mix, the energy, the steady pace to it with the dun 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 guitar in the background, the very memorable melody. So, yeah, you know, for a song from a Jackie Chan movie called Wheels on Meals, this ended up having just a very prominent and lasting legacy in wrestling, JoJo. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, this is first one of many of these songs where, like, I hear superimposed over the song the crowd chanting the wrestler's name when I listen to it, right? Because that just came to be so many times. Like, when Misawa would be coming to the ring, the chanting would start right away. And, yeah, the chugging rhythm, the melodies, like, this song has three very distinct melodies in them that are all standalone, good enough to be their own themes, I would say. So yeah, to me, the instrumentation is classic, as you mentioned, but really the melody, and it's true for a lot of these songs, the melody is really just so good. There's no other way to put it. Like, the way it flows, and there's just so many different sections to this one that really do kind of make me emotional. So yeah, classic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of the pillar themes, this is definitely more on the heroic side of things, because they all feel very dramatic and cinematic and whatnot, and there are connotations of some songs being more heroic and some being more, I guess, antagonistic, you might say. So this definitely leans more towards the heroic side of things. And that makes sense, because Misawa was, you know, one of the main heroes of All Japan during the 90s. He would be the main hero in Noah as well later on, so it's not just a great song, it's the right tone for Misawa as well.
Absolutely.
And later on, he would get the Noah version of the song, which has the famous piano intro. And that just adds this extra layer of epicness to the occasion, you know. And that's the thing, too, about these pillar themes. A lot of them have multiple versions, you know, with different intros, maybe some updated instrumentation as well. So, yeah, if there was a way to somehow make these songs more epic, the pillars found a way, JoJo.
Yeah, there's actually a couple other versions of this one that I think All Japan did. There's one where they kind of change the order of it goes back to the first section before it gets to the kind of minor key section to kind of re-emphasize that intro again. So that was one. There's like a super slow version which never ever hits the main tempo of the song. It's just always a slow piano, which I can't imagine he actually ever used. But that kind of intermediate one that recycles the A section before it gets to the C section, I think he did use for a time in All Japan as well. I think that's on maybe All Japan Best of the Best, if you can track down that CD. It's a good listen.
Mm-hmm. Also, and I didn't know this until the episode here, but Keith Morrison, that's not his real name. That is an alias. His real name is Toshiyuki Kimuri. He did the Japanese soundtracks for a lot of Jackie Chan movies when they, you know, came to Japan. He also went by the name of Kurth Morrison, which I assume was either a typo or an English to Japanese mistranslation of sorts. So, yeah, all this time I assumed that Keith Morrison was this American guy or British guy, but nope, he's actually Japanese, so how about that?
That's interesting. Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, so gonna go now to pillar number two, Kenta Kobashi, the Iron Man, the man who chopped cancer in half, and Kobashi's first theme he had from 88 to 98, so a full decade there. This is by Masaki Matsubara, and it's called Sniper. So I don't want to say that this is a lesser theme, because he had it for a good long while, but I think compared to the other Kobashi themes, it feels a bit quaint, I guess. It's a good song, don't get me wrong. It has a good riff, a good chugga-chugga tempo. Again, it has kind of a Western vibe to it too, I think. But overall, you know, compared to like Grand Sword or Blazin, it doesn't have that sense of epicness or theatricality that those songs do, JoJo, I don't think.
Yeah, I wouldn't call this one epic at all. Like this one, like it's a more vintage feel in how the guitars are voice. Like, you can kind of hear a little bit of overdrive in the amp, like real tube overdrive in the amp. It kind of sounds like this was recorded in a room by a live band of, you know, maybe three or four musicians, whereas the other ones are very epic with strings and pianos and just a lot of kind of more 80s production elements, whereas this one has more of a vintage kind of 60s, 70s music production element to it, which is obviously like a style of music that I like a lot. This one almost gives me like Darkness instrumental vibes, if that makes sense. Like very kind of just guitar focused, guitar harmonies, that sort of thing, but not in the kind of Yngwie sense that we're going to talk about in a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And for the first couple of years there, he actually used this song with an intro from the song Color of Your Smile by Night Ranger, which is kind of funny to think about, you know, Kobashi coming out to Night Ranger of all people. But look, it's the late 80s, early 90s in all Japan and places like that, and New Japan, they used pop songs, rock songs all the damn time in many contexts. So, yeah, it's very strange to think about, but it's certainly par for the course, I think, in this sense there, JoJo.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was definitely a kind of period-specific element to all these that kind of permeates them, so that it totally makes sense.
Right, right. So in 98, Kobashi gets a new theme, which will become his main song for the better part of his career until he retires in 2011, with one big exception, which we'll get to soon, but this is by Osamu Suzuki, and it's Grand Sword. This is what I'm talking about here. This is a Kenta by God Kobashi theme. When I think of Kobashi, I think of him as like this epic warrior god, just built like a brick shithouse, throwing big lariats and chops. And when this song hits with that giant crashing piano melody, that dun 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 dun, and the synth choir in the background, and the big guitar solo comes in later, like this feels like a proper epic hero theme. For a proper epic hero like Kobashi. And the title, too. I mean, it's called Grand Sword, for God's sake. That is such a tremendously appropriate name for this theme and for this wrestler. So, yeah, great stuff all around, JoJo.
Yeah, I mean, this is the most epic. In my opinion, this is the most epic wrestling theme song there is. Like, if you had to pick a perfect wrestler, if I had to pick a perfect wrestler, I would pick Kenta Kobashi. If I had to pick a perfect theme for any wrestler, I would pick this song. If I had to pick a theme for Kenta Kobashi, you get like double exponential. Like there's, it couldn't be more perfect than this, right? This is the most epic, the most heroic, the most triumphant wrestling song that I've ever heard. And it's without a doubt my favorite theme of all time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's multiple versions of this too with different intros. Version 3, which has the explosion at the beginning and the longer intro. really good, and the Noah version has an even more dramatic intro, and it's somehow even more epic of a song. Like Spartan X in that way, I suppose, which makes sense because, you know, at this time, guys like Misawa and Kobashi are pretty much just, you know, gods in wrestling there, so for them to reach such legendary status, it would make sense that their theme songs would also kind of be upgraded and be a little bit more epic and that kind of scale, so, yeah, but any version of this song is just plain awesome there, JoJo.
Where do you rank Osamu Suzuki in terms of wrestling theme composers?
I mean, he's certainly very prolific, that's for sure. He's made a lot of theme songs over the years. And, you know, is he well known over here like Jim Johnston is or Jimmy Hart? You know, probably not, no, by majority of people. But if you know your Japanese wrestling music, which you should, by the way, folks, then yeah, the name Osamu Suzuki is one that you would recognize for sure. You know, him, Kitamura, guys like that are very, like I said, prolific and have made just so many themes over the years.
Yeah, and Suzuki has themes from New Japan too, right? It's not just
Japan
that he's working with. Some of the biggest New Japan songs are him too.
Yeah, I mean, Keiji Muto, I did the episode about him not too long ago, and, you know, what two bigger songs are there than Hold Out and Muda? That's him. That's him right there. And Fantastic City for Chono as well. He did that one too. And
I think Shinya Hashimoto's song too.
Yep.
Which has another super, super heroic melody as well.
Yeah, so if you're looking for songs like this, you know, he's the guy to go to, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, like, to me, this is kind of, when we think of Japanese wrestling, the style of Japanese wrestling themes, he kind of, you know, set the standard.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, yeah. So from 03 to 05, Kobashi had a different song in Noah than Grand Sword. This is by KAZ, and it's called Blazin'. So I guess Kobashi wasn't happy with just one epic theme. He needed two, which fine, fair enough, it's Kobashi, whatever. And yeah, Blazin', again, checks all the boxes here. Has the ramp-up intro, the big sound, a lot going on. It differs from Grand Sword in a big way, in that it's guitar-oriented instead of piano. And I think that gives it a little bit more power, a little bit more punch, a little bit more fire, if you will, with that guitar in there. So yeah, a really great song. One that, you know, they didn't need to replace Grand Sword. It was doing fine on its own. But still, I love this one a lot, JoJo.
Yeah, I like the song a lot, too. I kind of think of it as, like, the other side of the coin to Jun Akiyama's Sternness theme. I think it's, like, a very similar kind of composition, but like you said, very heroic at the same time, whereas Sternness is very aggressive and you know, more in your face in a kind of a different way, right? Whereas this is very straightforward and guitar focused, like you said. So yeah, I kind of pair those two themes together in my head, and I think for the time it totally makes sense because those guys were paired in the ring a lot together too. But yeah, this is another very classic theme.
Mm-hmm, right, and timing wise, I can see a point in changing it because He got this in 03, and that was when he won the GHC Heavyweight Championship. And he held it for two straight years there. And the length of the reign, 03 to 05, coincides with the length of the song, 03 to 05. So, and that reign, of course, is still the most definitive reign of the company. It's the most definitive reign of Kobashi's career. So the idea that he gets this new, quote-unquote, more badass, more incredible theme to symbolize his ascension into winning the belt and starting this legendary reign is, you know, it's pretty cool, I think, in that kind of regard, JoJo.
Yeah, and, you know, he went through a gear change at the same time, right? That's when he adopted the black trunks. I think right before that, he tried to dye his hair blonde. That didn't really stick, but, you know, he was trying to reinvent himself. Little did he know he was about to hit, like, the biggest run of his career. But, yeah, I think a couple things changed at that time for him, obviously. You know, some medical things as well. So it was a good, you know, good marker of a new era in his career.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Up next is pillar number three, Toshiaki Kawada, Dangerous K. And before Kawada became big as a pillar, he was in a tag team with Koto Fuyuki, a.k.a. Samson Fuyuki, called Footloose. And if you're wondering, I wonder what song they had as a theme, well, it's by Kenny Loggins from the Footloose soundtrack, and it's, of course, Footloose. This is a bit of a left turn here, a pretty big left turn from Blazin to Kenny Loggins, but it's not the only Kenny Loggins in All Japan, because remember, JoJo, your first time on the show a few years ago, we talked about Danger Zone as the theme for Masanobu Fuchi. So, yeah, as strange as it is to see old man Fuchi come out to Danger Zone, I think it's just as odd to see Kawada come out to Footloose, but look, the team is called Footloose, and you can't not use the song. It's right there, JoJo, come on.
I mean, yeah, it's the timing, right? Like, I'm sure it made a ton of sense at the time. Like, take a step aside from Kawada, too. Like, Fuyuki? The song fits Fuyuki even less than it fits Kawada, just musically. but yeah, I mean, Danger Zone makes sense. This one... I'll give it the name. It's a catchy tune for sure. What are your thoughts on Kenny Loggins in general?
I like him. I mean, I know only the hits pretty much, but yeah, Footloose and Danger Zone and I'm All Right and a few other songs are all really good. So yeah, I like what I've heard, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it took a couple of iterations for Kawada to get a song that fit his persona the right way.
Oh, yeah, and we'll get to that with the next song as well, for sure. But for right now, yeah, the song is called Footloose. The team is called Footloose. It's a match made in heaven. And also, if you think about it, Kawada, known for his big kicks, Footloose, it lines up there. It lines up, I'm just saying. But,
it does, for sure.
But no, yeah, it is weird to think of, you know, Dangerous K, the super stiff, delayed-selling, total grumpy badass, come out to, you know, you gotta cut loose. Footloose, but again, much like with Misawa and Tiger Mask 2, this is all in the 80s up to 1990. This is before the Pillars took over and became, quote-unquote, the Pillars. So you kind of have to look at it as just a different stage of their career. It's not the guy that you know, it's the guy that will become the guy that you know. So that's kind of think about it in that sense there, JoJo.
For sure. I mean, the footnote I put here is I'm sure it made sense at the time. I'm sure it made a lot of sense at the time. But yeah, he was still growing into his character. He was definitely still at that point second fiddle to Fuyuki, who was the leader of the group. So yeah, it makes sense, right? Like, these guys don't get that iconic theme right out of the gates, right? They have to grow as wrestlers. They have to grow thematically as well. So yeah, he would get there. And this is obviously was one of the most popular songs in the world at the time they gave it to these guys. So yeah, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And it's fun as well to look up some of the gear that he and Fuyuki wore back then, because nowadays we're so used to, you know, black and yellow pants Kawada, but you look at some of the photos back then and it's like, you know, they're in leopard print, they're in tiger stripes, they're in these like plain red trunks. It's very weird.
That's right, like colorful, like purple leopard print swatches across yellow tights and stuff like that. Yeah, for sure. It's the 80s, man.
Yeah, yeah, it's like seeing Misawa wear like red pants or the blue pants, and it's like it just feels wrong, but it happened. The footage is real, so you know it is what it is.
But that's one of the things I love about Japanese wrestling is that, like, because the careers are so long, and these guys are in kind of the public eye from the very beginning, and whether it's in magazines or in video at that time in video games, right? Like, you get to see these. The development of them as wrestlers, whether it's through the moves they do, through the music they wear, through their gear, where I feel like now it's a lot more like kind of less organic, I would say, right? Whereas you got to try stuff that doesn't work, or maybe it works in 1988, but it doesn't work in 1992. So it definitely brings about a lot of nostalgia for me to think about like these different iterations that these guys had in their careers.
Yeah, it is interesting to do these rewatches or these deep dives and see guys just grow and change as time goes by. I mean, Kawada goes from, you know, Footloose to Super Generation Army to Holy Demon Army over the span of only, what, a few years, I think. And eventually he does, I guess, solidify as the Kawada that we all know and love today. But he did not, you know, come out of the oven fully formed. He did take a while to become who he became. And that's true for all the pillars. It's true for so many wrestlers there, JoJo.
And then, like, the consistency became the identifying trait of All Japan, right? It was, you had the green guy, you had the orange guy, you had the black and yellow guy, you had the red guy, you had the blue guy. Like, it became that eventually. But to look at it in the context of these songs, like, it didn't start that way, which is awesome.
Yeah, definitely. So in 1990, Footloose breaks up and Kawada joins the Super Generation Army with Misawa and Kobashi and Kikuchi and the gang, and he gets a new theme song. This will last a couple of years until 1992. This is the BB Band with The Last Battle. So another odd theme in regards to Kawada, because it has a similar dun 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 backing section and tempo setter like Spartan X has, which makes sense because he was Misawa's partner around this time. But where it gets weird is the horns, because it makes it sound like the opening for a Vegas show. You know, it feels a bit out of place. It doesn't have that same element of epicness that other songs have, kind of like Sniper in that way, JoJo, where it just doesn't have the gravity, you know?
Totally. This is like an alternate take on Sniper X. It's like that same type of feel, which makes sense if they're partners, right? They're both kind of in the new generation babyface group that's banded together against the established veterans. Makes sense, right? But Kawada hadn't embraced his inner grumpiness fully yet, right? This is way too upbeat for him, right? He needs to darken it up a bit. He needs to grump it up a bit. And that would be on the very dark and foreboding horizon for him in the near future.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And also the name, The Last Battle, it feels a little bit misleading, I think, because I know it's trying to convey excitement and action with the pace and the quick trumpet blasts and all that stuff. But The Last Battle makes me think of, like, apocalyptic, you know, the final stage of an ancient conflict, the gates of Mordor have opened, and this is more like a 70s cop show car chase. You know, it's just, it just doesn't really match, I think, there, JoJo.
For sure, yeah, I totally hear what you're saying.
So Kawada's next theme is his longest lasting, his signature song that he has for the rest of his career. This is DDT with a song called Holy War. This is more like it. Get those horns out of here. Bring in the explosions. Bring in the guitars. Bring in the shredding solos. I mean, this is a proper Kawada theme with a proper and fitting title, Holy War. I mean, those explosions at the beginning, yeah, it's a holy war, all right. So yes, all due respect to Kenny Loggins and The Last Battle, but this is the Kawada theme, JoJo, that's for sure.
Totally, yeah. This is like as perfect. I prefer Grand Sword, but this is as perfect for the wrestler as Grand Sword, right? This has that edge to it. It's very dark. It has almost like a 70s kind of Led Zeppelin feel to it. And it fits him so perfectly, right? Like, he comes out in his robe. He doesn't have his dentures in, right? Like, he's ready to rock from the opening bell. And yeah, it just fits him so perfectly. And it, you know, even the variations on this one, like they add to it, right? I feel like this song just embodies him to a T.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's around the time of the Misawa split and forming Holy Demon Army and all that stuff. And what's cool about that is it doesn't sound like a bad guy's theme per se, but it still sounds antagonistic, you know? Like,
yeah, this is an anti-hero. Anti-hero.
Right, yeah, like Spartan X and Grand Sword are very much on the light side of things. This is more dark-sided, and it's cool how, you know, that helps kind of carve that line between Misawa and Kobashi, and Kawada and also Taui, too.
For sure, yeah. It's like you mentioned, in retrospect, it seems perfect because, you know, it was in the past, but I bet you even at the time, like, the association with these wrestlers, it depended so much on these songs, right? Even like playing the video games of All Japan at the time, like, it was just a huge part of the overall experience, you know, way more than we have today. I feel like we've definitely lost that, like, really strong association in a lot of sense with All Japan Pro Wrestling, right? They don't have the same level of themes. Even if you look across Japan, I would say only New Japan is really doing it really well. So yeah, it was a huge part of the overall spectacle of the time, and it really added to Kawada's character and the development of him as an individual, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And there are other versions of this as well. There's a version by the BB Band.
We'll be right back.
which has this intro where you mentioned Led Zeppelin. It sounded kind of like Stairway to Heaven.
Totally. 100%.
Especially the part where it goes da-na-na, da-na-na, da-na-na-na-na. That caught my ear pretty clearly there. And there's the Holy War 21 version. I think my favorite guitar solo of the bunch, but listen, much like with Spartan X or Grand Sword or whatever, there's so many versions, you know, take your pick, they're all pretty great there.
And like I mentioned before, like if you're looking for workout music and you're in a pickle, like go to this stuff, man. This stuff is epic. It all has the chugging rhythms. It'll get you through a workout for sure.
Moving on now to the fourth and final pillar, Akira Taue, the big man, with his weird-looking choke slams that he loved to do. Taue's first theme is from 88 to 91. It's by Bakufu Slump. Yes, it's a real band. It's a song called Runner. So another big left turn here from the giant craziness of Holy War into a heartfelt pop song, really. I know Taue used an instrumental version of this, but I couldn't find that, so we have the lyrics version here. And, you know, as odd as it sounds to have this song with Taue, of all people, we're used to it, I think, at this point, because we have had the non-normal pillar theme before the iconic pillar theme. So, I mean, we already had Footloose, for God's sake, so how much weirder can it get, JoJo, really?
Yeah, and the intro of this, you know, it hits and you think you're going to get into some sort of, like, prog rock, like Emerson, Lake, and Palmer type thing, and then the pop music hits you, and it's like, okay, well, I wasn't expecting that, but here we go. You know, but I think it fits Taue, right? Like, he's not... there's nothing, like, normal about Taue, right? Like, he's kind of shaped weird, he kind of moves weird, he's kind of, like, weird, lanky, and not really in shape, like, but he's one of the best wrestlers ever, right? And this just fits him. But yeah, I'm all here for it.
Mm-hmm. And I found a translation of the lyrics here. In the locker room where we took shelter from the rain, you had your head slightly hung and said that you wouldn't be able to come back again. The depths of your eyes held a storm, and you were so sincere and so sad. I wonder what I should have said to you then. The unclouded days of a young man pass by like the seasons, and the wind will always powerfully blow. So we run, sweat pouring down without pause. Someday, if we find our way, maybe I'll be able to tell you how I feel. Taue, Akira! I know it's such an emotional, heart-wrenching song about lost love and regrets and whatnot.
Yeah,
and
beautiful.
I know this didn't have the lyrics when it came out to it, but still, the dichotomy here, JoJo, is very funny.
Yeah, I mean, those are not wrestling themed lyrics, right? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense for, you know, even the music, right? Like it doesn't. It's more upbeat. But yeah, somehow it works. It's a good song. Like, give it a listen, even the version with the lyric thing is totally worth listening to.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it's not as awkward as Kenta coming out to Where to Hood At, spill the N-bombs in it. That's something at least, so.
Yeah. I mean, there may have been some of the same folks involved in the decision-making process for both of those teams, so you never know.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. So after Runner, Tawei gets a new theme that he'll have from 91 to 97, and then in Noah from 01 to the end of his career in 2013. This is by Yngwie Malmsteen off the album Eclipse. This is Eclipse. So this is the Tawei theme here, of course, and surprise, surprise, Yngwie Malmsteen. It's a big guitar song with lots of typical virtuoso noodling guitar work in there, and you know, compared to, say, Spartan X or Grand Sword, I don't really hold this one as much, you know, in high regard, but which I guess is kind of fitting for Tawei, I suppose, but but still, it's a good theme and much more appropriate than Runner is, at least, Jojo.
Yeah, and, you know, You're definitely more of a metal connoisseur than I am, but I kind of think of Yngwie as like a huge pillar, if you will, like musical pillar that inspired a lot of this like style of Japanese wrestling theme. Is that kind of, do you think that's on the right track?
You know, I never really thought about that before, but I can definitely see it. I mean, from what I know about Yngwie, I'm not a big Yngwie guy, but he's definitely one of those guys who, you know, lives up to the moniker of big in Japan. He has a very big following over there, more so than here. So I don't know for sure, but I can imagine him being a very big influence on some guys in Japanese wrestling. Absolutely.
Yeah, when I hear his music, I think like, yeah, that would work as a wrestling theme.
Mm-hmm, yeah, for sure. And tonally, this is on the same wavelength as Holy War, where it's not like a super dark, evil kind of song, but it's got more of that grittiness, got more of that edge to it than the more triumphant and heroic Misawa and Kobashi themes do. So, again, kind of a cool way to delineate that, you know, Tawei and Kawada are together with the tone of their songs, Jojo.
Yeah, they're like moody versions of the like, as opposed to the heroic versions of the other ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So from 97 until 2000, with the Noah split, Tawei had a different theme. This is by Osamu Suzuki. Again, there he is. And it's called Thruster. Lie, this feels like a big downstep from Eclipse and from the standard of the other big pillar themes. A, because it feels like a slowed down version of Grand Sword with the piano melody on top. And B, I just don't like the sound of the keyboard. It sounds too chintzy, it sounds too MIDI, and it's just, overall, it's not up to snuff with the quality of the other pillar themes, Jojo. I don't like it, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I would agree. Musically, it definitely doesn't hold a candle, but I offer you this. I feel like this song fits Tawei, fits Tawei's overall presentation much better than Eclipse.
How so?
Just because he's not what you would expect, and this song is not what you would expect. It's kind of like in a minor key. It's kind of just like plodding along. It kind of takes some weird turns and choices musically. But to me, like, that is Tawei. Like, he's not... You don't want him to kind of have to stand toe-to-toe in presentation with somebody like Kobashi, right? But when he's given the opportunity, he surprises you. And I kind of feel like this song, the more you listen to it, you're like, yeah, that's a good melody. This is a strong melody. This works for him. I would never put this song on anybody else, but it works totally for him, in my opinion.
So it's an acquired taste, you're saying. Much like Tawei himself.
Like
there you
Tawei.
Go. Yes.
Yeah, for sure. That's a perfect way of putting
there
it.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, so... So the final theme here is a tag team theme, and it's for Kawada and Tawei, the Holy Demon Army. Maybe the best tag team name ever, I think. And their theme is a mashup of their singles themes. So this is Holy War Eclipse. Got Holy War in my Eclipse. You've got Eclipse in my Holy War. Two great tastes that taste great together. This is a standard mashup tag theme. Starts out with Holy War, and it goes into Eclipse, and then back to Holy War, and then back to Eclipse, and so on. So, yeah, it's not the most complex of arrangements, but when you have a tag team of Kawada and Tawei, which is simply guys being dudes, the team, you don't need to go crazy with it. You can just keep it simple and keep it just their themes, and it just works, JoJo. So, yeah, it's just a combination of two badass themes for a combination of two badass wrestlers.
Yeah, and I feel like this probably would have been one of the first instances of a mashup theme in Japanese wrestling. And I think, like, you think of, like, Suwama and Shuji Ishikawa, they kind of did that. You think of Tenkoji, they kind of did that. You know, it had been done a lot, but I want to say these guys were the first to do it, that mashup theme.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking like 93, so I'm trying to think of any other mashup themes around that time come to mind, and none really do. So I guess, yeah, they're pioneers in that regard for sure, JoJo, yeah.
And musically, the songs fit together.
Right, yeah, I mean, tonally speaking, the two songs line up very well. It's not like it's, you know, Spartan X and Holy War, and there's just kind of an odd mesh of vibes. It's very much, you know, a case of these two similar-sounding and similar-vibing songs really gelling well together. And also, as well, you know, Holy Demon Army, it wasn't like this was a brand-new tag-team gimmick for these two guys. It was just Kawada and Tawei forming a team. That was pretty much it.
Right. And they don't have matching gear. They don't have...
No, no.
They probably don't hang out together much outside of wrestling.
Yeah,
right?
Like, I mean, it's very much a case of singles guy Kawada, singles guy Tawei. We're together now. We're just going to team up. And yeah, there's no matching gear. There's no coordinated entrance. There's no brand new theme for this tag team specifically. It's just singles guy, mush their two themes together just like they were mushed together. You know, so that's pretty much it there, JoJo. Yeah.
They're both restaurateurs these days, too.
That's right, yeah. Kawada's got his ramen shop there, yeah. And Tawei, is he have a bar, I think? Is that what he has?
I think he has a steakhouse. I think he has a steakhouse,
that,
yeah.
That makes sense, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, those were the four pillar themes. And, yeah, nowadays, Kawada is retired. Tawei is retired. Kobashi is retired, and then there's Misawa, you know, who is not retired. He is no longer with us. He is dead. He died in the ring during a match in 2009 at the age of 46 years old, which is just so goddamn young. It's crazy. And he was hurting by the end, too. I mean, you know, that's the thing about the Four Pillars. They put on the greatest matches ever, but the physical toll that all those years of wrestling put on their bodies was immense, to say the least. So, yeah, it's great to look back on all these matches, but it can be pretty bittersweet, too, knowing that Misawa is no longer here, JoJo.
Yeah, and when I watch, you know, All Japan or Noah matches with these guys back, like, more often than not, which isn't the case for a lot of wrestling I watch, I'm sure to include the entrances in what I'm watching, right? Because it adds so much to the environment. And these teams are a huge part of it. Obviously, like, if you're going back, if you're not a fan of Japanese wrestling or you haven't seen this stuff, like, you got to watch it. You got to watch it. This is the template. This is the template for the presentation, right? Like, when we talk about the Budokan, like, these matches were all in, not all, but a lot of them were in that building. They were the ones that made that building's name. And to me, like, it all goes together. The music, the venue, the wrestlers, their gear, the commentary, right? Like, having Baba sitting on commentary, kind of speaking unintelligibly to even Maya, who understands some Japanese, right? Like, it's it all goes together, and the music is a huge part of it. So yeah, do yourself a favor and seek out the matches, and if the entrances are part of the clips that you're watching, like, don't fast forward through them, right? Absorb the music, because it's really some of the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, when you have matches that you can just list off the dates of as like a kind of shorthand, you know, 6/3/94 or 6/9/95, that says a lot about the quality and the staying power of these matches and these wrestlers. And, you know, even with the physical toll that it took in the end, still, this era, these matches, these wrestlers, this atmosphere, this booking, you know, it's still one of the most special times in wrestling history, bar none. And, yeah, go watch some of it. If you haven't seen it, go watch some of it, because I guarantee you, it'll knock your socks off. And the music will too, I'm sure. So, there you go.
Yeah, and I was, like, lucky enough to live in Japan for a while, and, like, I was at shows where, like, Kobashi was either presenting the title or he was on commentary, and he would come out to his music, and, like, I tell you, I'm tearing up, like, listening to the music. You think I wasn't crying, like, sitting in the stand, seeing him walk out, like, really, really, really cool. Same thing when, like, when Chono would come out at Wrestle Kingdom, like, the place would go crazy. Not only because of Chono as the man that he is, but, like, to hear that song in that venue, like, there's a lot of meaning behind it. So, yeah, even now, like, at a Fortune Dream show, or if Kobashi's at a DDT show or a Noah show and they give him that entrance, like, it's a huge spectacle. So it's really cool to see.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode of Music of the Mat. Thank you so much for listening. And JoJo, thank you again, as always. So much fun having you on here. Luckily, we didn't have to take any burning lariats or rolling elbows or Kawada kicks or Nodawa Otoshis in this one, so we're good in that regard, but still just a lot of fun, my friend.
Like I said before, I'm honored to be on this episode, and I'm really, you know, glad that you asked me to be on it. And yeah, if we can spread the gospel a little bit and get more people aware of this stuff, then it's a mission accomplished.
Any plugs you want to give? Go right ahead.
No plugs, just, you know, be nice to other people and, you know, maybe watch some baseball, stay safe and have a good time.
And go watch 90s All Japan. Go watch that too.
That's it. For sure.
And Music of the Mat is, of course, part of the Voices of Wrestling podcast network. You can find all the great shows on there at voicesofwrestling.com. Follow the show on Twitter at Music of the Mat. Follow me on Twitter at Andrew T. Rich. VoicesOfWrestling.com/Discord for discussions and comments. VoicesOfWrestling.com/donate for any donations. Just click the big donate button beneath the name Music of the Mat. If you donate, hey, thanks so much. You're awesome. And of course, rate, review, subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and many other places. JoJo, thank you again. I'll see you around.
Thanks so much, Andrew.
All right, for JoJo Remy, I'm Andrew Rich, and I'll see you next time on Music of the Mat. Take care, guys.
Music of the Mat is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The songs used throughout this show are property of their respective copyright holders.
Hola, hola. My name is Ricardo. I am the host of the Lucha Jovers podcast here in the Voices of Wrestling podcast network. We are a Spanish-speaking show dedicated to discussing and analyzing pro wrestling from all across the world. From AEW to CMLL, we talk about American wrestling, Japanese wrestling, and of course, Lucha Libre. If something big happened in the pro wrestling world, we will talk about it. So if you know Spanish or have a friend that knows Spanish or want to practice your Lucha Libre pronunciations, go listen to the Lucha Jovers podcast right here in the Voices of Wrestling podcast network. Nos vemos por ahí.